Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is by the mercy of all these Vaishnavas and Gurus that I attempt to write about the pastimes and qualities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whether I know or know not, it is for self-purification that I write this book. Purport. This is the sum and substance of transcendental writing. One must be an authorized Vaishnava, humble and pure. One should write transcendental literature to purify oneself, not for credit. By writing about the pastimes of the Lord, one associates with the Lord directly. One should not ambitiously think, "I shall become a great author. I shall be celebrated as a writer." These are material desires. One should attempt to write for self-purification. It may be published or it may not be published, but that does not matter. If one is actually sincere in writing, all his ambitions will be fulfilled. Whether one is known as a great scholar, a great author, is incidental. One should not attempt to write transcendental literature for material name and fame. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So being skilled or talented or having any abilities at all in this world is so risky. The risk is that one gets proud and one seeks recognition, name, fame on the basis of these skills or abilities or scholarship. And yet, without skills and talents being exhibited in this world for the good of people genuinely, the world would be at a great loss. If the unskilled people come forward and try to take the place of those who are skilled, there will be havoc. And if the skilled people act not for the welfare of others, but for their own selfish purposes, then also there is havoc. So the only solution is that we act in this world with whatever abilities, skills, etc. that Krishna has given us. Whether that is less or more is inconsequential. And we use those skills and abilities and knowledge, etc. for, first of all, our own welfare, our real welfare, not just welfare in terms of the bodily concept of life, but our real spiritual welfare, and then for the sake of others. Now this is a very simple purport and a verse, but a very deep one and so important for everyone to reflect on. We can see from the examples of great acharyas like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. In the preceding verses, we have seen him remembering and offering his obeisances to the lotus feet of not only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, then also the six Goswamis, and now he says, I will be able to write this only by the mercy of these great souls, and I write for the sake of self-purification, Atma Shodhana. Srila Prabhupada makes a couple of important points here. The first one is that anyone who attempts to write any transcendental literature, and when we speak of write, we also mean speak. Just as reading also means hearing, similarly writing is the same as speaking. So when Prabhupada says write, we should also substitute the word with speak. Write or speak. So the first thing that's necessary for anybody who attempts to write or speak about Krishna or on any transcendental subject matter is, Srila Prabhupada says, that one must be an authorized Vaishnava, humble and pure. That itself is a tall order, isn't it? What does it mean to be an authorized Vaishnava? It means that one must be connected to an authorized disciplic succession. One must have understood and learned Krishna consciousness from the authorized disciplic succession. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear the story of a poet from Bengal who came to Jagannath Puri, and he had written some poetry in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wanted to recite this to the devotees, but Swarup Damodar Goswami was very reluctant because he knew that this person is not trained in the society of bona fide Vaishnavas, and therefore whatever composition he comes up with will be flawed. Certainly there will be some major flaws. And the Lord and the devotee do not like to hear compositions that are flawed in this regard, in terms of the devotional understanding. If there are grammatical flaws, literary flaws, that's another thing. That is easily overlooked. But when there are fundamental flaws in the understanding of devotional truths, then the Lord and the devotees have issues there. So Swarup Damodar was very reluctant, somehow or the other, because of the persuasion of Bhagavan Acharya, who was an associate of Mahaprabhu, a simple, humble soul, a devoted soul. So hesitatingly Swarup Damodar agreed. He said, alright, okay. And then this person started speaking. It's a long pastime. I will not narrate the whole pastime. It's a very instructive and beautiful pastime. And the very first verse that he recited, Swarup Damodar said, oh, in his mind he was thinking, oh no, what has he written? And then he asked him to explain what you mean by this verse. And this poet, he with a flourish, began to explain with all the alliterations and metaphors and everything that verse, which was the introductory verse. And Swarup Damodar just told him in short that you're a fool. You've made major blunders over here. As you say in England here, you've blown it. You've blown it. What have you said here? You said, and he pointed out all the mistakes that he had considered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be an ordinary jiva. He had considered Jagannath to be just a statue of wood. You know, so he had made major blunders like that. So anyway, finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that Vaishnava, that poet, Jahao Bhagavat Paro Vaishnavar Sthane, Ekanta Ashraya Karo Chaitanya Charane. He said, go study Bhagavatam under the person Bhagavat. Unless you approach the person Bhagavat, you will not understand the book Bhagavat. So go take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because this poet was a very humble person, and he was feeling really sorry and miserable that he had made such blunders, so he took genuine shelter of the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and the devotees. So Mahaprabhu showered his mercy upon him and accepted him into the fold, so to speak. So the point is that even though this person was sincerely motivated, he didn't have any desire for name and fame, but he genuinely wanted to, but because he wasn't trained properly, he came up with some composition that was erroneous. So that is what we mean by an authorized Vaishnava, that one must, before attempting to speak or write anything, have bona fides. Just as in any field, if anybody wants to go to the assembly of mathematicians or biologists or whatever, and the first thing the biologists or the mathematicians will want to know is, where have you studied, what is your degree, where is your PhD from, have you got a PhD or not, have you got a BA or MA or whatever, where have you studied? Before he can even be allowed to speak at a conference or a seminar, his qualifications will be judged. Is he an authorized mathematician or is he a quack? So similarly, in the Vaishnava society also, the first thing we want to know before we hear from somebody or we read somebody's book is, what is his authorization? So in Vrindavan, they say, Amnai, Amnai. The Bengali Vaishnava will say, what is your Amnai? First we want to know, what is your origin? Where are you from? The word Amnai means many things. It can mean scripture, it can mean truth, it also means sampradaya. So the first thing they want to know about you is, what is your Amnai? What is your sampradaya? Where do you come from? Then I'll talk to you, otherwise I won't waste my time. So that is the meaning of authorized Vaishnava. But somehow or the other we find today, people are so bold as to venture into territory over which they have no rights. They speak or write on transcendental literature, even if they're academically qualified, but if they're not connected to the bona fide sampradaya or the parampara, then they have no right to write on such topics. They may, academically speaking, be scholars. They may know the Sanskrit language or the Bengali language very well, but because they haven't understood the principles from a proper Vaishnava, they are not authorized to write. They will misunderstand or misinterpret the words. Understanding transcendental literature or speaking it is not simply a matter of expertise in grammar and vocabulary and so on. One may be a fluent writer or a speaker, a good orator, or one may be able to speak in a very charming way and be very well equipped with all sorts of grammatical and literary skills, but that doesn't authorize one to be a Vaishnava. On the other hand, even if one may be wanting or inadequate in terms of literary skills, if one has been trained in the proper way under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master in the proper disciplic succession, then one's words will be authorized and bona fide and will actually be the cause of self-purification and the purification of others. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, the fifth chapter, we see a very nice dialogue going on between Srila Narad Muni and Srila Vyasadeva, two great souls. And Narad Muni urges Vyasadeva to write the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Vyasadeva thus far has not focused on the pastimes of Krishna. He has written the Karmakanda scriptures, the Jnanakanda scriptures, and Narad Muni tells Vyasadeva, his disciple, that you've actually misled the people of this world. You've actually made them believe that sense gratification is the purpose of the Vedas, whereas the purpose of the Vedas is only to know Krishna. Vedaisya sarvair aham eva vedyaha. There's no other purpose. So now, you are feeling disappointed. You feel there's something missing in your life because you haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna. So write a scripture glorifying Krishna. And then he says, Nayad vachas chitrapadam harir yasho jagat pavitram pragrinita karhichit tad vayasam tirtham ushanti manasa na yatra hansa ushikshayah niramanti ushikshayah. So Narad Muni says that, you know, there are some souls who live in the spiritual world, ushikshayah, na niramanti, they don't take pleasure at all in certain types of literature and words. What types of words do they not take pleasure in? Those words that do not glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone sanctifies and purifies the entire universe. Jagat pravitram prakrinita karhichit. So those words, nayad vachas chitrapadam harer yasho, which do not describe the name and the fame and the glories of the Supreme Lord Hari, such words, even though chitrapadam, though they may be very artistically or creatively presented, are considered like vayasam tirtham, like a pilgrimage place for crows. And those who are swan-like devotees don't like to read or hear such compositions. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that crows and swans are not birds of the same feather. You know that birds of the same feather flock together. And crows and swans are birds of different feathers, so they don't flock together. The crows usually, as you say here, hang out in places which are very dirty. If you've seen a crow in a beautiful garden, you'll see that the crow doesn't go to a place which is, you know, with nice ponds and there are lotuses and there are some flowers. They would rather go to that corner of the garden where there may be some dirt or some rubbish. They'll go there. Naturally, their inclination is to go to such places. On the other hand, the swans, they like to frequent places which are naturally very scenic and beautiful. Transparent waters, stems of lotuses, and bumblebees, and fragrant breezes, and so on and so forth. The swans like to swim in those waters. So similarly, literatures which do not glorify the Supreme Lord are considered like a place of pilgrimage for crows, which means like a rubbish dump. And places where the swans frequent, which are very scenic and serene and so on, are like literatures which glorify the Supreme Lord. So the devotees go to such scenic places, which means they appreciate and relish transcendental literatures glorifying the Lord. Whereas those of materialistic people relish literatures which have nothing to do with the Lord, which pertain to sense gratification. And then Narad Muni says, Tad vag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abaddhavatyapi naman inantasya shankitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhavah. He says, on the other hand, if there is a composition which may be defective in terms of grammar and syntax and vocabulary and so on, but if it has been honestly composed by a sincere devotee of the Lord, and that composition pertains to the glorification of the Lord, then it is immediately heard, sung, and accepted by the great sages. And in the purport, in great humility, Srila Prabhupada says, "The task that I have taken," I'm paraphrasing it, "the task that I have taken upon myself is stupendous. I have to present the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other great literatures to the people of the world. How will I be able to accomplish such a huge, gigantic task? It's so difficult. I am unqualified for it, and moreover, I am trying to do it in a language that is foreign to me, in the English language. It is not my native tongue. So there will be so many mistakes in my composition. But I beg the people of this, the readers of this text, to please forgive and overlook these mistakes." And then he speaks about this verse, in which he says that, "Please consider that this is sincerely motivated and it is meant for glorifying Krishna, therefore it will take its effect." Janataka Viplavo. The word Viplava means a revolution. The word agha means sin. Janata means people. So such literatures, even if they are imperfectly composed, now again, I repeat, imperfectly means from the point of view of grammar and so on, not from the point of view of the Siddhanta and the devotional conclusions. So even if they are imperfectly composed, they will be the cause of a great revolution in this world. And that revolution is a revolution in the hearts of the impious populace, because it will make people free from their sinful desires and their sinful propensities. So this revolution is actually a real notable revolution. Revolutions that take place with bullets and guns and bombs and so on, they are very short-lived in their effect. And they never bring about any real solution to problems. But literatures like the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are capable of causing a revolution in the world. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, defeated Keshav Kashmiri, that great Digvijayi scholar, who was very proud, very puffed up of his scholarship, Nimai Pandit decimates the poor man. But he does it in such a nice way that he doesn't crush his ego. He's very gentle about it all. And at the end of it, when he's thoroughly humbled, then Nimai Pandit tells him, "Oh great scholar, who has seen a scholar like you? Who would have the capacity to compose 100 verses glorifying Ganga at the spur of the moment, impromptu? But never mind that your verses have some defects. And these defects were not spotted by that great scholar." And Mahaprabhu reeled off the defects one after the other. And said, "Never mind. Even great scholars like Kalidas and Bhavabhuti, in their compositions there are so many defects. It doesn't matter. It's all right. Don't take it to heart." So therefore we see that when it is composition, Kalidas, he was not a devotee. He's considered a great literary scholar, but he's not considered a devotee of the Lord. So what Mahaprabhu wants to say is that when writing mundane literatures, even great scholars have so many flaws. It's hard to be completely perfect. But when devotees write, if they are authorized Vaishnavas, humble and pure, as Prabhupada says here, even if there are literary mistakes and so on, that can be overlooked. Because the essence of what they convey is so important and so right. Of course, that doesn't mean that we should be shoddy when we compose literature. So we see that in the BBT, there is a great emphasis on proper editing, proper language, proper choice of words, syntax, and so on, because we are writing for everybody, and because we are doing it for Krishna, we should try to do things perfectly. You see, this verse or this theme that I'm speaking about now is not an excuse for shoddy writing or shoddy speaking. We can't use it as an excuse for being negligent or inadequate when it comes to being careful about what we speak or how we speak and how we write. We should be very careful that we write properly, we use the right grammar, the right choice of words. But even if for some reason there are some faults in that regard, that can be easily overlooked. That is the point. So the first point Prabhupada makes here is that one must be an authorized Vaishnava, humble and pure. And the second thing, very important point which Prabhupada makes here is one should write transcendental literature to purify oneself, not for credit. One should not ambitiously think, I shall become a great author, I shall be celebrated as a writer. These are material desires. One should attempt to write for self-purification. And then he makes an amazing statement. Prabhupada says, it may be published or it may not be published, but that does not matter. When one publishes it, there is always a risk that one may succeed, that one may become successful, one may become famous. So that is dangerous. At the same time, without publishing one's works, like Prabhupada did, how would you spread the message? So this is the paradox. And the only solution for this paradox is that we must be humble and pure. And write or speak or do any service for Krishna without any expectation of credit or reward. Especially this desire for name and fame is very, very difficult to get rid of. And even if one doesn't want to get popular or famous in the outside world, the desire to be famous amongst a society of Vaishnavas, that may also be there. And that's also a very difficult one to get rid of. It's very hard. These very subtle desires cling tenaciously to the corners of our hearts somewhere. So Srila Prabhupada's purports here, they are directly aimed at our heart, and we have to really introspect on these things. We have to think, well, am I doing this for some name and fame, so that I can be recognized as a, you know, a wonderful devotee, as a wonderful kirtaniya, as a wonderful book distributor, as a wonderful speaker, as a wonderful scholar, or as a wonderful cook, or whatever it may be. Because by association with this world for such a long time, the false ego has become so deeply entrenched in our consciousness that even when we take to Krishna consciousness, it is very hard to overcome it. And then Prabhupada says, if one is actually sincere in writing, all his ambitions will be fulfilled. Whether one is known as a great author is incidental. One should not attempt to write transcendental literature for material name and fame. Srila Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan also on a couple of occasions reprimanded Jiva Goswami. Even though Jiva Goswami had not succumbed to the desire for name and fame, he was sincerely motivated, he was pure-hearted from his very childhood. But because he transgressed certain Vaishnava etiquette in correcting an elderly Vaishnava who had come, Vallabha Bhatta, the fact that Vallabha Bhatta had had tried to correct Rupa Goswami's verses were between those two elderly personalities. So from Rupa Goswami's point of view, it wasn't proper for Jiva Goswami to intervene in this matter. He felt that you can't be so proud as to correct someone who's like your guru. How can you try to correct his composition of work? If Vallabhatta has corrected something that I have done, it's between, he's superior to me, so I accept it. But you should not do the same for him. So these things are very important in the society of devotees. Vaishnavas, real Vaishnavas, will appreciate the Vaishnava qualities. Real Vaishnavas, like Krishna, are not impressed by an exhibition or display of just ordinary talent or even extraordinary talent. If those things are not accompanied by the Vaishnava qualities. And if the combination of the two is there, then the Vaishnavas become extremely joyful. It's a cause of joy in the society of Vaishnavas. To see something being done for the service of Krishna in such a wonderful way. So when Nimai Pandit used to exhibit enormous talent at debating, the Vaishnavas used to just be struck with wonder. But they would think, oh, how we wish Nimai Pandit would have been a devotee. How wonderful it would have been. And Nimai Pandit, of course, knew the hearts of the devotees. And when the devotees kept running away from Nimai Pandit because the devotees didn't want to waste their time in useless argumentation, Nimai would call after them, you're running away from me. But remember, one day I will become such a nice Vaishnava that you will all flock after me. So the Vaishnavas were thinking, when will that day come? When will this Nimai Pandit become a Vaishnava? A real Vaishnava. Actually, we are training to be Vaishnavas. What it means to be a Vaishnava is a very exalted thing, very difficult. Because the kind of qualities that are required of a genuine Vaishnava are so rare to be found in this world. But it is by the great examples of personalities like Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada that we begin to get an idea of what it is to be a Vaishnava. So all such transcendental literature is compiled by empowerment. Transcendental empowerment by superior personalities. And one becomes eligible for such empowerment when one has these qualities that Srila Prabhupada speaks about here. So we'll halt here and we'll leave open some time for discussion. If there are any questions or comments,